Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Finally atop the mountain, the Dogs are the champions, and we're celebrating in Athens. Put your hands together if you're here, Grindhouse. Hey, we got to do it right. On three, when I go, one, two, three, let's say go Dogs. One, two, three, go Dogs. That's nice. What's up, baby. We're here for the celebration. Dukes and Bell and, of course, John Chuckery hanging out. We've been here all afternoon, all morning, guys. John, I was just asking you about the stadium. The stadium's full. Where's the guys? When's this thing getting rolling?
Well, listen, everything takes time. It's a slow celebration today, okay?
You know? I'm ready to get to it.
I mean, you know, if you enter from the north side, it takes a minute to get into Sanford Stadium.
People got to eat their burger. They got to have their drink. They got to get ready, and they got to get yourself prepared. I want to see the shot around the stadium. Like, I did not see a shot.
Outside.
Yeah, like, I want to see, like, you know, whatever, a drone or something above and see some of the area around the stadium and how the crowds are around there.
Yeah, they are slowly trickling in, and I say slowly because the players are not out there yet, the coaches and everybody. But, boy, fans are hyped, and people are hyped out here,
oh,
man.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because Bo showed me a picture. Like, there's going to be a big crowd. I'm telling you, there's
– for the folks who could not get in.
Yes,
gotcha.
I mean, around the perimeter there, it's going to be a big crowd, too.
By the way, Josh Brooks, the athletic director, on the stage right now. We were just talking to a couple of Georgia fans here, and they were just debating with us, what's Kirby's path? Where's he going to go? I said, well, he's only 46. I go – you can make good enough money in the college game, as we talked about that an hour ago, as you could in the pros. So I was saying to them, he's only 46. I would imagine Muschamp slots into D.C. That's what we're projecting, right?
Like, right.
The Dukes are built Chuckery projections.
Yes.
But, I mean, he's got all the money.
It just makes the most sense.
Right. He's got all the resources. I mean, the idea was, how long would Kirby stay? I said, unless some NFL team came at him with crazy money, which I don't think that's – I mean, right now we don't see that as an immediate goal. Plus, his mentor did the NFL experience, and it was not all it was cracked up to be in Miami. 500 for the two seasons with Saban.
Yeah,
I mean, it would have to be galactically
but
crazy
money. Don't you guys feel like if the NFL is going the college route, they want those dynamic offensive guys?
They do.
I mean, that if you're going that way, that's why you're hearing Ryan Day and Lincoln Riley.
Right.
You know, and obviously
Brian
Kingsbury, you know, Kingsbury's in the NFL.
Yep.
I mean, don't you feel like that the today's NFL, if they're looking college, they want those guys that run those because that's what NFL teams – they're running RPOs and all those kinds of things now. So you want an offensive mind. And that's why I only say that, not because the NFL may not be interested in Kirby, just where the NFL is looking in today's game, it doesn't seem like the Kirby Smarts of the world are – the guys that they're coming to first.
Here's what I'd say about that, Mike. It's Dukes and Bell. Again, John Chuckery, we're out here. You're going to hear from David Green coming up as we've been giving you all different kinds of coverage, different angles today in regards to the celebration of the Georgia Bulldogs and the championship. I think the biggest thing he learned from Saban is where can you have the biggest impact?
Right.
Kirby's not chasing money, guys.
No.
And so when you have coaches that chase money and they want to make that move, the NFL sounds nice. And you can maybe go make a couple of extra mil, but that's not his objective. He understands he can have the biggest impact right here.
And
right here.
You also know that if you go to the NFL, you're going there to be 3 years and get fired.
Right.
And that's what the NFL game is.
If you're looking for correlation as far as a guy that ended the years in the wilderness, look at Steve Spurrier. Spurrier did everything he could at Florida. And the next mountaintop. Sometimes the ego gets involved. It's my stuff working. But see, to John Chuckery's point,
he's
an offensive-minded guy. Mm-hmm. Let's see if my stuff works. And it did in Washington, Snyder, and it went nowhere. But and then Steve comes back and makes nice money in South Carolina and plays golf at Augusta and has fun. But I do think to Kirby getting back to the initial point. No, I don't. there's nothing to worry about. Someone stealing Kirby is the point. And they're going to back up the Brinks truck, and you'll get that announcement sooner than later.
Yeah, I think it may be already in the works. It may have already been done, to be honest with you. Guys, I know we wanted to win this, but I said this. Kirby's getting a raise regardless. He really was.
Yeah, he hasn't had a raise in 3 years,
no,
by the way.
He was going to get a raise. I know people were like, well, if he didn't win it.
Well, you and I both said, don't give him a raise till he wins it. Now he's earned it.
And you know, I think part of what you're seeing with Jim Harbaugh is the same thing. He's trying to get his money back from Michigan. I don't think Jim Harbaugh is going to the NFL. I think he wants his money back from Michigan that he took. You know, took the pay cuts, you know, and he, I think he's trying to take his leverage of saying, well, NFL,
I would say this,
you know,
after Harbaugh, that's the high water mark. You're never getting back there. That's it. That's as good as it gets at Michigan. I firmly believe that.
Maybe it is. Hey, guys, let's talk a little bit about something we started the show with, for those who might have missed it, as we're out here in Athens, and that is the elephant in the room, which is Stetson Bennett. It's such an interesting conversation. I hope it gets resolved so we're not talking about this for 3 or 4 weeks from now,
right,
and we're wondering what the deal is.
Well, it has to get
is.
Something because, I mean, whatever the declaration date is. But that's coming soon because the Senior Bowl's what, at the end of the month? I mean, so.
It is. And I think this is one of those decisions, again, put yourself in his shoes and then take yourself out of his shoes. Now, John, tell us again where you're at on this. You want him to come back? You think it's in the best interest of him to come back?
You asked me the question. You said, why come back? To win a second national title. I think there is something about that and the allure of something like that. Look, if you're a competitor and you're in that position, why wouldn't you want to come back? I understand the idea of the John Elway, leave on your high note. How often does that ever happen in sports? How often does that ever happen? We talked about Matt Leinart came back, and right, you know, they were good, but they weren't national championship. But why not? Why not come back? Why not come back and cash in while you can? NIL and everything else that's going to come with it. Why not come and cash in? Look, like Darth Vader.
We're watching the video.
Kirby
walking through with state police, literally like a gangsta, in the front. Get the smoke machine going. Looks great. Yeah. There goes Jordan Davis. Looks great.
He looked like a rock star coming out at a rock concert with the coat on and just, you know, the demeanor.
Yeah, he's got the suit and tie, no visor.
No,
yeah.
Just the demeanor. Yeah. I mean, it was pimp. But the players are slowly making their way out. Guys, they're about to take the field. What a great day, man, for these young men. You work so hard. And people have, I think most people don't have any idea, as Stetson Bennett and all these other guys talked about, the work that
Kirby has just burst through the giant cheek.
There you go.
The work that goes into becoming champions. I mean, he's cool today. Usually he's all, you know, amped up.
Right.
Today
yeah.
he's like just chilling. But what a moment for these
but
young men.
Do you think, John and Carl, either one, that Kirby, kind of like Peyton Manning in the NFL, Peyton always had that tension and that tightness in some of the bigger moments. And now and Kirby had some of those moments, too, as a head coach. And now, as Pollock even said on the broadcast, tight booty holes was the phrase. You think now he's over that?
Yeah. You look at the SEC title game and you look at the national, you know, playoffs, both games. You didn't get that Kirby yips moment, you know,
right,
like you did in previous big matchups. You didn't get that yip moment out of Kirby. And I think that was another thing, just the calming and just his steady influence in it. That's why I think that's another one of those, if you want to call it, you know, just kind of reasons why that Georgia is so well set up that, okay, Kirby's got this thing figured out. You know, you don't have to be afraid of him in a big game anymore. Like, oh, he's going to do a Kirby thing, and he's going to do one of those. No, I mean, he showed. I mean, he's led this team right into the national title right now.
Yeah, the game plan was great on both sides of the ball. By the way, I rewatched the game the other day just because I wanted to go back. Turn the volume down.
Oh, guys, thank God you didn't have to hear Herbstreit.
Well, no, I wanted just to pay attention. Sometimes I watch games like that because I tell Bo this. I watch games sometimes differently, you know,
right,
just for purposes. That was a physical game, man.
Oh, yeah.
It was such a physical game.
Well, you heard what Sean said.
Game.
He said it felt like I got hit by a train.
Yeah.
But here's the bigger thing, guys. Kirby has also built that aspect of this team. He wanted a physical football team. He wanted an intimidating football team. When he got here, it wasn't that. It was smaller guys, offensive linemen not big enough, weren't physical enough. He's got that element.
Yeah. The first step.
That's a big deal moving forward.
It was at SEC Media Days the first year Kirby was there. And the first thing he said to us, like on the air and then off the air, because we talked to him off the air, and we're like, is this off the record? He's like, I can't win with this offensive line. These guys aren't physical enough. He goes, I'll say it on the air. He goes, I got to get better on offensive line. He made the statement. You know, it's just part of, I mean, I watched some of the Jimbo Fisher commentary. You know, they have like 16 channels you can watch, and the coaches break down. And Jimbo Fisher was saying, that's how you beat Alabama. You got to out-physicals. How do you beat Tom Brady and the Patriots? You got to out-physical.
Well, that's why the Texas A&M class is such a big deal. Now it's one. Can Jimbo do it two or three more times? And now you start to add that depth
right,
that these guys have, Georgia and Alabama.
then we'll put A&M in the conversation. But Jimbo, I think he's got the formula. He's offensively minded enough that he knows what he wants to do, but he hasn't had the players to do it.
Right. Didn't hurt that his quarterback played his only really good game
the
entire season.
And then he transferred out.
Yeah. Right. By the way, I said to Carl, have you seen the meme about the Georgia fan with hope?
No.
So, you know, they do these SEC memes. It's a Georgia fan, and Spinbilly's seen it. So, it's a guy, he's wearing his Georgia gear, and they have a girl with a sash over her that says hope. And so she's packing her bags. He goes, what are you doing? He goes, we're a great team. She goes, no, I'm leaving. We're done. You've won it. You've done it. You don't need me anymore. He goes, no, but remember? He goes, yeah, sure, when Stetson fumbled, like, I know I got upset a little bit, but she goes, no, I'm leaving. He goes, where are you going? She goes, Texas A&M.
Oh, wow.
Which I thought was hysterical because they're the next one, right?
And they brought in the guy that beat them, you know, toward the end of the year. They brought in Max Johnson to play quarterback there.
Right.
But Georgia's got everything in place, facilities now, everything. That this won't be the first one of these that we see. I really believe, for more than any time, I've been here since 1993, you've been here since 98, more than any time since we've been here, I feel like that this is their opportunity. Is that shock up there?
It is. Yeah. And by the way, as we set the scene.
Your MC is DJ.
Well, the guys are out there, the team, and we mentioned this earlier in the show, there are varying reports from guys who cover the team that some of the guys, seniors specifically, are already training. Some of these guys are not here today.
Right.
They're getting ready for the Senior Bowl, and some guys are training. So, but the team is out there. DJ Shockley, our buddy, you just heard him last hour on the show, emceeing the
I didn't see a picture. Did it show Stetson walking out of the tunnel?
I did not see
a picture of Stetson coming out. Did you see one?
I did not. So I'm curious to see who's going to address the crowd. And by the way, you see who's in the background there? Greg Sankey.
Well, that's Greg Sankey, the commissioner. Yeah, on the right there. On our right.
Well, here's the deal. Guys, the SEC is owning this playoff.
Yeah. Right?
Whether there's expansion or not, Greg Sankey could care less. We are fine. We're going to have one, maybe two teams in every year.
Let me mention, we brought this up earlier. That was the big other false narrative this playoff season bowl. These matches, oh, my gosh, look at what happened if you expand the playoffs. You'd have Ohio State and Utah playing. It'd be like, that's not how the playoffs would work, folks. Utah would have played, if you line them up, Utah would have played Georgia. And guess what? That game would be in Athens, Georgia. They're not playing in the Gasparilla Bowl in 1 week. Going to the Birmingham Bowl the next week, then the Sugar Bowl, and then another bowl.
Yeah.
They're not traveling around America. These games are going to be on. So Utah comes across the nation to play Georgia, gets their brains beat in, and then goes off. Yeah, you wouldn't have gotten Ohio. You're better off with the system that it is right now.
As much as I hate to argue against the expansion of the playoff, the best four teams, we could barely get a good semifinal game.
Exactly.
We've had some blowouts, Carl. Notre Dame is taking some beatings in finals and semifinals. Michigan State's taking some beatings.
Yep. Notre Dame.
The Cincinnati, I thought they accounted themselves pretty well in the Cotton Bowl.
All the teams that were there belong.
Right.
But you see the difference between the top
Oklahoma State or Notre Dame gets beat by three touchdowns in any of these matchups. I mean, and Cincinnati already beat them.
Why would I not want Georgia and Alabama to make sure that they play at the end of the year? Like, why would I have wanted anything else besides
But the problem is, and Carl and I talked about this last week, we love defense. In the SEC, we've seen games get in the 40s and 50s. This was an old-school game. These games are defensive. So the SEC and the ACC, I think, play the best defense. Now, the ACC is so freaking top-heavy. I don't know when they're going to. I mean, Clemson rights the ship. But it's not going anywhere. The SEC's got the best players. They've got the best defensive play. The Big 12, Carl, you think the Big 12 is going to get better defensively with Venables going to Oklahoma? I mean, would really change the narrative.
It won't matter because he's going to be here in a couple of years. So.
Yeah, he's playing in the SEC.
Because it's about to be Cincinnati and Central Florida in the Big 12.
I mean, the Pac-12 doesn't play great defense. I know that's a generalization, but they don't play great defense.
And it's the funniest thing because the player who may be drafted first overall played in the Pac-12 defensively.
Right. Yeah, Thibodeau.
Kayvon Thibodeau.
That's true. Hey, guys, we're going to come back. You're going to hear from one of the all-time greats, David Green. The celebration is on at Sanford Stadium. Guys are there. Coaches are there. Josh Brooks, the AD, is there. Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, is there. And thousands of dog fans celebrating a national championship. It's Dukes and Bell. We're live at Grindhouse, John Chuckery, and we're having a great time, man. This is a very cool day to be a dog fan. It's Sports Radio 92.9 again.
It's our Georgia Championship celebration.
Live from Grindhouse in Athens.
Touchdown, Georgia!
On Sports Radio 92.9, the game.
David Green, how are you doing, my friend? What has been going on with you?
Well, fellas, I tell you, man, I've been on cloud nine ever since Monday night. We got the chance. We went. My wife and I went. We took my two older boys, and it was just I told my boys after the game, I said, boys, y'all are peaking early because you will never see another game in the rest of your life that will have the same energy and excitement and emotion that that game has. So, man, we're fired up. It's a good time to be a dog. Good time to be in Atlanta and be a fan, too. I mean, with the Braves, what happened with them, and now the Dogs, it's been a good few months.
Yeah, the Braves, you had all those injuries, and then the, you know, the trade deadline, and then obviously all the way to the World Series. I guess if you want to take that down to just 3 weeks, it was the SEC Championship, had a lot of Georgia fans kind of scratching their heads, and then obviously what happened on Monday. David, what do you think it was? I mean, do you buy into it that they just thought they had it, and they could just roll out the footballs that first game? Because, man, they were ornery and mean, certainly, that defense on Monday night.
Well, I mean, looking back on it, it looks like the butt whipping we got at the SEC Championship was exactly what we needed. I mean, it kind of felt like, I mean, I was at the SEC Championship game as well, and we definitely didn't have the same hunger and passion that we showed the other night. I mean, you got to give Alabama credit. I mean, they flat whipped our tail in that championship game, and it's exactly what we needed. The boys, you can tell, they took it under the chin, and they said, look, guys, if we're going to end up winning this thing, we're going to have to reset. We got to get our mind right. We got to keep improving. And you could tell they went back to work. I mean, that Michigan game, you could tell they were dialed in and focused. They looked like they had something to prove. And even though the media was saying they thought Georgia would win the game, if you just got your butt whipped 3-4 weeks ago, you trust me, you're going to feel like the underdog going into that game. So Georgia acted like they had something to prove, and boy, did that defense step up and play phenomenal. I mean, they were lights out.
David, let's talk about the quarterback position. You played it. You played it at the University of Georgia, and you set all kind of records, and you know everybody knows what your accomplishments were. Where you have set in that position, what did you think of Stetson Bennett? And now, what do you believe? You know, has he answered all the questions by doing what he did? I thought he was great in the semifinal game. But then, to me, the most impressive part, David, for me, was the second half of this national championship.
Well, the one thing Stetson has shown, he's a tough kid. I mean, considering what all he's been through this year, I mean, look, sometimes it's tough to be the guy that you go, hey, man, nobody wants me, but they got to have me anyway. And he's – I mean, he's been consistent pretty much all year long. Like you said, the semifinal game, he was phenomenal. The SEC championship game, he really wasn't bad, I don't think, to the degree that Georgia fans thought. I mean, obviously he turned the ball over twice, but outside of that, he had played pretty well. The championship game was a little odd. You know, we couldn't get in a rhythm in the first half. I really was a little thrown off. I was in the stands going, Monken, run the football, and I'm a huge Monken fan. But it felt like they were trying to put the game on Stetson Bennett's shoulder when I felt like the running game was going to be really the ticket for that game. So, but the way he hung in there and battled down the stretch, and he played his best football of that game after the most adversity, which is when he fumbled that ball. He made the plays when he had to. So you got to give the kid credit. He proved that you can win a national championship game, or you can win a national championship with him when he's under center. So, he answered a lot of questions that I think a lot of Georgia fans were skeptical of, and he proved everybody that he's very capable of doing it.
And that's the question, because, you know, you were part of the turnaround, the David and David show, winning that first SEC championship for Coach Richt, and you stuck around too. I know that the world is his oyster. Will it ever get any better for Stetson because of the NCAA, obviously, you know, ruling? He has another year if he wants it. What would you do? What would you tell him if you had a conversation?
Well, now since I'm about 40 years old, here's what I would tell him. I would tell him, I'd say, Stetson, sell off into the sunset now, because your stock will never be any higher than what it is now, and he will be beloved for the rest of his life. If he hangs around, which I totally give him credit if he wants to do that as well, if the kid's a competitor, he wants to play, play. But if you come back, he's going to be, trust me, he's still, even though he won a national championship, it is a what have you done for me lately. And, you know, the Dog fans are going to want it again, and he's going to be back fighting tooth and nail for his job, you know, just like he always has. So I don't think his stock will ever be any higher. The story is phenomenal. If he comes back, great. I mean, he's been remarkable for us. But if he sailed off into the sunset here, it would totally be a mic drop. And the story and the legacy of Stetson Bennett would just be – it would be phenomenal.
David Green, our guest, guys. It's Dukes and Bell. Obviously, David Green, if you're not familiar with the history, you're not a dog fan because he did it big and enjoying this moment for his school. We've talked to a bunch of guys about this. I want your perspective on it, David. How many guys have you heard from that either you played with or that maybe you saw at the game that you hadn't seen in many years? This really was a connecting moment for a lot of guys that played, wasn't it?
This was a connecting moment for players. I can't tell you how many buddies I saw when I was there. I'm on multiple group texts with, you know, some of the older guys I played with when I was young, and then some of the younger guys that I played with when I was a little bit older. So the dog, you know, the Letterman and that whole deal, I mean, we are beyond thrilled because, trust me, we want it as bad as those guys do, and we know how hard it is to get to where they are. And it's just remarkable that, out of 41 years, this team right here was finally the one that was able to step up and get it done. And then a way you're able to connect with a fan base. Look, I'm sitting in the stands. When Ringo picked that ball off and ran it back, I never really anticipated what was to come when we finally won. And what I found is that we really had a hard time as a fan base processing being a champion. We're going, holy crap, this actually, like, we are national champions. What do we do now? And there were grown people crying all over the place. And it was just a cool moment because, you know, there were so many people. We've been so close for so long and have not been able to get it done. It was just amazing when it finally happened. Everybody just couldn't really process what was taking place.
David Green is with us, guys. He is a dog for life here on the waitfor.com hotline. And that's the thing. I mean, Kirby, is, as you said, he's knocking on the door. Could have had it in 17. This team is loaded. The recruiting thing, it seems like the machine is on them. I mean, the big red and black train is on the track. Would you agree, David? And now that you've broken through and you've gotten called a mental block or whatever, do you believe there'll be multiples? I'm not getting greedy, but do you believe this decade will see multiples for Georgia?
Well, there's no question it can. I mean, the way Kirby recruits, I mean, look, I could probably make a solid argument that we were a couple of touchdowns, in my opinion, better than Alabama. You know, you put – you know, Stetson did a phenomenal job for us, but you put like a Heisman Trophy quarterback like Bryce Young on our team, we may beat Alabama by a couple of touchdowns. You know, we are loaded at a lot of positions, and there's not many holes in our game. I'm talking going all the way down to the punters and kickers and everything else. Kirby has been able to build five-star depth across the board, and when you can do that at the level he does and how hard they practice and compete, I mean, Georgia's got a chance to stay in the mix and stay in the hunt for years to come. So, I mean, I think right now, I mean, we could easily – I shouldn't say easily, but you could see Georgia in this championship game, you know, for the next 4, 5, 6 years.
Do you think Todd Monken, with the way that the game plan went in the national championship game, gained more respect from dog fans? I know, you know, we always question the OC. You know how this goes. But I thought they came out, and at a point where he could have been timid, he was aggressive in the second half after Stetson turned it over.
Well, I'll tell you this. Todd Monken is a phenomenal offense coordinator. I mean, he's probably been one of my favorite OCs Georgia's had in a long time. I mean, he's called a phenomenal season all year long. And this year in the first half and in his game, I think I mentioned it earlier, I wasn't a huge fan of what he was doing. I felt like we were getting – first half we were off a little bit, but in the beginning of the second half, I mean, we're getting 5, 6 yards of pop up the middle. Right. And I felt like ever since, you know, we didn't stick to it. We would get 6 yards, it would be second and four, that we would do a reverse with McConkey, yeah, or we would do a flea flicker. And I felt like we were going for the big play too much. And every time we went for the big hit, we either got sacked or we got a penalty. And that next thing, and now it's second and, you know, 15. But the way he called the game there towards the end, that hurry-up play when we were running down the throat and it was third one, and he did that hurry-up and they faked it to Cook and dumped it to Bowers for the touchdown. That was a beautiful play design. And a lot of credit goes to Monken. I mean, that's what they get paid the big bucks for. And he definitely called a great season all the way around.
The other thing is, you know, you got so many weapons. You know, James Cook gets a touch, and he has an unbelievable run. Zeus ran hard. And then the two big plays for Pickens. Pickens, I mean, that first catch was beautiful. It was NFL quality. And then, of course, he draws the big pass interference. I know we talked a lot about the injuries to Bama, but if Pickens is maybe healthier or has that kind of impact in the SEC championship game, that's a different game.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. I mean, the thing at least I felt from sitting in the stands is I wanted Zeus in a game. The way Zeus was running a rock in the second half, he was seeing the holes much better than they did in the first half. I was texting some of my old offensive line. I said, don't y'all love it when a running backs run right into your spleen? You know, and it seemed like the first half, Cook and Zeus were just running right into the back of the lineman. Second half, man, they were seeing the holes. They were making the cuts. Zeus is obviously extremely strong, and he was running hard. If it was up to me, man, I would have got a heavy dose of Zeus, even more than what we gave him in the second half. But the way they came and fought in the second half, I mean, that game had so many different momentum swings. And in typical Georgia fan fashion, there were so many times where we thought we were going to win, then it was, oh, crap, now we're going to lose. And then we were back at it again. And you just got to give the players credit for being able to work through all that and stay the course and see it all the way through.
David, what are you doing these days, man? People just want to know. I just got a message. Guy said, hey, man, what's David Green up to these days?
Shoot, half my afternoons are spent at a ball field somewhere. I've got four kids now. I'm working with Stinchcomb. We're in a commercial insurance business, so that's what I'm doing, you know, to pay the bills. And then my kids, I got 14, 10, 4, and 2.
Holy moly.
So oldest three are boys, youngest is a girl. I know, dude, I'm never going to be able to retire with four kids. But, man, life's good. I'm having a good time just being a dad and a husband and running around chasing the kids around.
I think I'm going to pass out. There it is, guys. David Green talking to us. That was earlier this week. Dukes and Bell, as we are at the celebration in Athens. It's going down at the stadium. As we speak, Kirby Smart addressing the crowd there. And
Coke bottles on the podium.
By the way, the Georgia Coke bottle is pretty cool,
yeah, right?
Yeah,
it's good stuff.
The label. What we were kind of saying, you know, Kirby looks – he looks today like he's running for office. He's already won, by the way.
Yeah.
But he is.
Is that our next governor?
He might be. He could run for governor.
Remember, Coach Dooley did toy with the idea back
in
the day.
Did, yeah. Sure
he
did.
Could run for governor. But the crowd is taking in all the words that he's talking about right now.
Hey.
It's just an incredible scene at Sanford Stadium.
Where's Stetson Bennett?
I don't know. Have you seen him?
Who?
Has anybody seen Stetson Bennett? No, I'm looking at the bar. Everyone's looking at me back. Nope, I haven't seen him.
He had a pull of double duty at
Canes.
At Canes.
No, I mean, Carl, not to be a knucklehead, does that strike you as odd?
Well, we talked about some of these guys training. Is he one of those guys?
What's he training for, Mr. Olympia?
I don't know. Is he made a decision? Is he going to the Senior Bowl? I mean, I don't know if he's even had an invite. Either way, we said that some of the guys that you might think you wanted to see or you thought would be
there. Where is Stetson?
Is not there. All right, we're coming back. We're going to do
Julio.
One more segment here today live at Grindhouse. It's been a crazy day, man. So much fun. By the way, waitstaff, thank you guys.
You guys are awesome.
Yeah, thanks to everybody.
You guys have been amazing. We're going to come back.
And they're hot. And the girls, too.
We've got one more segment. John Chuck, Rick Simpson,
Bell. Over here.
And we'll come back, wrap things up, guys, as we talk about Wild Card Weekend, but also what this means for Georgia. Today, a great day as we celebrate the national championship.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon, now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T, or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It is Dukes and Bell, John Chuckery. We're live at Grindhouse in Athens. Today is where it's going down. Parade earlier down Mount Lumpkin, which led to the stadium, which led to thousands of people, Mike, inside of the stadium. Right now, the dogs, actually the players are speaking.
Right.
But let's make a correction, because you asked the question
right
about where Stetson Bennett. Apparently, he has been located.
We have found Stetson. He is there in attendance. A lot of folks here were like us. And no disrespect to Channel 2, better camera work. But, you know, you want to get a shot of camera. Stetson, while the...
what, do you want a drone on
no,
Stetson?
No, I'm just saying, while the governor is speaking, you can do a shot of, like, the players and show me that Stetson's in attendance. I mean, but Stetson is there.
Go back to Wendy's picture, but anyway. That's it.
Oh, what? John.
What happened?
Just make the call, man. The call.
John is in love with a certain news person on Channel 2.
No, listen. I mean, it is what it is, right?
Yeah, it's called stalking. It's called, like, restraining order.
Yeah.
When are you going to take – have you shot your shot
put
yet?
Put the lotion in the basket.
But have you – seriously, have you taken the shot?
No, did he really say that?
I don't want to find her in a crawl space. That's a terrible story, John. I mean, geez Louise.
Hey, man, we've been
John Chuckery, a.k.a. Jane Gum.
Hey, can you help me with my sofa?
We
Oh, wait. Is she a great big fat person?
What
are you, about a size 12?
Will you stop it? It's a girl.
I am moving on.
The list.
Celebrating
4 hours.
Listen,
it's a party today.
4 hours and 45 minutes before Chuckery took it off the rails.
Hey, thank you guys for coming out, by the way.
Love you guys. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Ladies, thank you guys.
Good
appreciate
thank
you.
Y'all. Go dogs. Go dogs.
Yeah, it is. I just don't want this audio to be played at a police.
Local radio host professes his love for Channel 2 news anchor,
exactly.
Film at 11.
We have evidence.
There we go.
There he is.
There we go.
That's the shot I wanted. Show Stetson. There
See,
he is.
See, Mike, they were listening
thank
to you.
Thank you, Zach.
They were listening to you. As we've been talking about this today, and we're wrapping things up, guys. Fellas, by the way, back at the state at the studio, we do have Hawks basketball tonight. It's back-to-back. Knicks in town.
Why? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, tell me about it. We lost last night again to the Heat.
We mentioned the Hawks earlier. I'm beyond trying to figure this thing out. I've given up. I really don't. I mean, who are the leaders? How are they not playing defense? And it's not that complicated.
They got to give us something. They got to show. They got to show us something.
So it's 17-24.
Brenton.
So now you're halfway.
Stop. Chris.
We're looking up at that guy in the Charlotte Hornets, by the way.
When does the point of okay, this is just not going to happen this year happen?
After the All-Star break.
Okay.
Right. Well, I'm going to see what he does with the trade.
I'm going to tell you, 2 weeks after the All-Star break, we're going to know where we're at.
What kind of move can you really make, though? Like, what are you willing to give up? I mean, you're not getting a star. I mean, they don't have expiring contracts on this team, so you don't have those kinds
of. No, but I mean, I think.
What are you going to give up?
I do think we talked all year. You did too on your show about John Collins and his contract. And you give a guy $25 million a year, and all he asks is, hey, can I be a part of the game plan? And they don't have a game plan for a guy you're paying that much money to. It makes no sense.
Well,
other than he's just cleaning up the junk. That's not a you don't pay a guy like that for that.
He wants a more defined role.
You blame him?
No, not at all. But I also think that most of that goes on the coaching and how Nate wants to use him. But we've got Hawks basketball tonight, so stay tuned, obviously, for that a little bit later on tonight. Knicks in town. It should be interesting. I don't believe, and maybe Chris knows this, maybe Conti. I don't believe Cam is playing
tonight.
No,
Thibodeau said that he was not going to be healthy. In fact, I don't think he's playing
for the next week or so.
Yeah, I think he's a
week or
two.
Because we're not going to see Knox.
Right. No, he's a week or two before he's going to be ready to play in New York.
Okay. So
Thibodeau said that, by the way.
Fair enough. And by the way, good for us, because I'm not ready for that either. I mean, it's already bad as we speak.
Yeah.
Then the
we're having too much fun today to have all that happen.
So as we get ready to wrap things up, though, guys, and not necessarily your final thoughts, but just what are your thoughts now? Moving forward, we've all waited so long for this day. That's Big Jordan Davis on the stage right now with our man DJ Shockley about to address the crowd here in Athens. We've waited so long, but where now? What are the expectations? What happens as we move forward? Because, guys, before you know it, it'll be spring ball. And then all of a sudden, we're going to get back in the mix here, and it's going to happen fairly quickly.
Personally, I'm just frustrated because – okay, we've been winning a lot lately, and we should be getting ready for baseball season, and we have no idea what's going to happen.
Fair enough.
And you're watching the Hawks, and you're like, okay, at least the Braves are about ready to come around. We're almost, you know, almost to February, pitchers and catchers.
Remember, John, though, to your point, and I am too, I'm a very frustrated baseball fan right now because we are champions. I want to get back to it. I want to see our team fully healthy, Acuna included. But we still got to get the Freddie deal done.
Oh, yeah. With the lockout, you obviously
can't do anything.
Yeah, I'm sure that there have been some. Again, I don't believe that there haven't been some final negotiations, things like that. It's just the winning part has been so fun. You know, even United coming back and getting the playoffs and every kind of thing.
Right.
And it's like you don't want to kind of have that feeling go away of we're having fun and we're winning and it's good times. It's fun to talk about winning.
Yes, it is.
Because once this stops and, you know, there's only so much that you can talk about with Falcons offseason for right now. You just kind of wish baseball would be around the corner to say, okay, well, here comes our next championship team that's ready to go, because I don't think the Hawks are winning a title this year unless a miracle happens. But I don't know. I think that's my takeaway, just is like, this has been fun for the last 6-7 months. You know, this has been a lot of fun.
I mean, and I know that everyone has different expectations for the Falcons. Some had unrealistic expectations. But the Falcons technically, by most metrics, overachieved.
Yeah,
they did a lot with a little. Right. I think guys who think it's a Madden game to understand the roster angle and everything else. So now it's just a matter of moving forward. What can Fondo do? I'm really excited about the draft. Can't wait. I mean, I'm one of those nerds. I'll watch the combine. I'll watch all that stuff because I want to see us get better in the trenches. To me, Carl, it's not going to be a sexy draft if fans are looking for that big home run splash. You've got to go back to brick and mortar. If you can find an edge rusher, okay, but it's got to be tackles. It's got to be guards. It's got to be defensive ends, defensive tackles. It's got to be the trenches.
Yeah, we keep saying that every year.
But nobody, I mean, the fans will not like it, those fans don't get it.
But we say that every year, and then we draft those guys, and they're not good enough. I mean, that's what
new regime.
It is, but the mindset, the approach has still been the same. So, but for me, the offseason, as we talk about this, guys, and you're talking about, you know, the Falcons and all the things, and John's talking about winning, this is an important offseason. I mean, I can't dismiss how important this is to get back to winning, and in the NFL, it doesn't take long. We've seen that. It doesn't take as long as you think. So there is still a lot to be determined, whether who you're keeping, who you're moving on from, et cetera, what the cap does for our team, and the Matt Ryan question. We all think he's coming back. It makes sense. But is he? We don't know. So there's a lot there. But, John, I'm with you. The winning part of it, and I'll say this to Georgia, as we're here in Athens, how much fun has this been?
Oh, yeah.
How much fun has it been to have the number one team in the country?
Yep.
Week upon week upon week. How much conversation outside of what we do, just on a daily basis, your neighbors, you're at the grocery store. How much fun is this?
But also to exorcise the demons. I know it's an overused phrase, John, but the knock is Kirby can't be bad. He can't get past Saban. And you knock that, check that off. And now I think the floodgates open.
But so much eyes of the sports world have been on Atlanta, from the Hawks running the playoffs, Falcons, United, you know, obviously Georgia, Braves, just the sports eyeballs are now in this town, and you like that. You want to, like, this is what we've always talked about, right? Let's want to be part of the national conversation. You want to be part of all of the good things.
Speaking of which, you just mentioned the Braves. Jordan Davis has his college football playoff pullover, lifts it up to show a Braves jersey underneath, by the way. He got a nice response from the crowd.
Is he going to DH next year? Is that what
Yeah, he's going to take Soler's spot.
Yeah.
But you're right, John. But I'll say this, and I've been saying it for years. I said it when I got here. Atlanta, but the surrounding areas and Georgia as a whole has always had passion for sports.
Mm-hmm.
The teams have just not been good enough.
Right.
Now they are.
And we have a lot of them here, too.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Right. College, pro, we have so much, you know, so much here available to us. Look, I keep talking about college basketball. Why is, you know, Georgia's Tom Crean, that program is just not good. But, you know,
but it's frustrating when you look up and you see Alabama and Auburn.
I mean, whether it's Tennessee, Kentucky, Alabama, LSU, Auburn, you see, I mean, Auburn's at its highest ranking ever in college basketball. Why can't we get some of that now? You know, why can't that be? And look, what Josh Pastner and Tech did last year, terrific, no doubt about it. It was a lot of fun. It was a good team. Just want to see more of that kind of stuff. Just you want the eyes of the sports world on Atlanta for all the good reasons, not of, oh, they're chokers or, oh, they're like, that gets, you know. Again, I've been here since 93. Like, listen to that nonsense.
Yeah.
It's all that kind of nonsense.
Well, here's the deal, though. As you win championships, as Georgia has, that diminishes.
Yeah.
That goes away. Yep. It becomes a lame conversation, and you look like a dumbass. And I said it.
Yep.
When you start to say, oh, well, they can't win, when our teams are, in fact, doing that.
Well, that's just it. I mean, you and I joked around for years about Atlanta-itis and that everything John just mentioned, that it's all interconnected somehow, that one thing has something to do with another in a different sport, in a different league. None of that. It's just about coaches doing their job, players executing, having a good front office. And if you do that, in this case, Kirby builds a program. The job gets done. And then you're not chokers, you're not Louisville. I mean, look, had the Falcons won the Super Bowl in 16, changes everything. But now, guys, we have a championship soccer team, college football team, baseball team.
Yep.
I mean, this is amazing. Look, we are a big market. What is it, seven now? Eighth market?
Biggest
market.
Listen, we're a top market.
But we're a market that gets job done. Fans, again, fans here, are they fickle? Sure. I mean, it's hard to watch the Hawks right now. Falcon fans, by the way, they do need to get sexy soon because I think some of those folks are kind of – you feel we're losing the energy with the Falcons a little bit?
I don't know if we're losing the energy. I just think that, you know, the team is in transition and people are trying to figure out what it's going to be. I said this. It's up to Arthur Smith and this organization to give us something.
Right.
Well, they got to.
My
something.
Point is, NFL team does set the tone, but we got to get that here.
You said it. There is a lot of Matt Ryan-itis in this town. Good, bad, or otherwise. There's a lot of that. And
fair, unfair.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We got to get out of here. Let's go ahead and clear our throat.
Dukes and Bell are wrapping up another show, so it's time for
Let Me Clear My Throat
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All the great guests you heard today online at Odyssey.com. I want to thank the folks at Grindhouse. Johnny, you're the best. Your staff, incredible.
These guys are so good.
And thanks to all the Georgia fans who came out, said hello. All the folks who listen to Dukes and Bell 2 to 7 Monday through Friday or John Chuckery after our show Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock. We appreciate each and every one of you guys. Thank you for making us a part of your day. Bo Morgan, executive producing. Chris, thank you for coming in on a Saturday, bro. Enjoy the rest of your day. Mm. This has been incredible. As we wrap things up, John Chuckery, finish us off, man, and tell us what you think. Clear your throat.
Yeah, one last thing. Let's thank all of our folks for our college football coverage all year long. Piedmont Bank, Jersey Mike's, Dos Equis, Racetrack, D. Geller & Son, Chattanooga Whiskey, Domino's, Kroger, Hudson Grill, and Car Putty. Clear my throat. You see what this feels like? This is going to be, I think, a more regular thing. This is what we've waited for, and I've said it all the time. This is the mecca of college football is Atlanta, Georgia.
Right.
This is the focal point of the sport. You want your teams to be good. Now, if we can get Tech on track and start to become at least, you know, in the mix of being a good program, but this is what you want out of your college football program. Hats off to Georgia. Hats off to Kirby Smart. But I do think there's going to be more of these kinds of events coming up.
Right. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Yeah, just double down on what John said, not to be prisoner of the moment, but it's not LSU. It's, with all due respect to Cam Newton and Auburn, it's not a one-off. This is the shape of things to come for Georgia because everything's been in place. You almost had a natty in 17. Heck, you almost had a natty in 2012 with Mark Richt. But the good news is Kirby has got things cooking, and now that huge block is gone. Now, Bama will be better next year. It's going to be a grind.
There
don't get it twisted.
Yeah.
But everything's in place now, as John said, for this thing. For Kirby to have multiple national championships.
Hey, big shout out to you guys. John, always great working with you.
Great
Mike,
meeting you guys.
You the man.
Appreciate you guys hanging out, and we're just chopping it up, having a good time. We hope you had a good time listening. What an exciting day, guys. Garrett back at the studio. Thank you for helping Chris. Hey, as we wrap things up, I'll just simply say, go Dawgs. Hey, man, if you love the show,
tell your friends.
If you don't.
You've never had a Grindhouse burger.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.